Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Bender. So great to have you here this afternoon on this holiday weekend here. I hope you're excitedly planning for something fun this weekend. Hopefully the weather will cooperate. Always kind of dicey here in the Midwest. Well, let me tell you about a couple of things that are going on here. Here at Faith Radio, we'd love you to participate in. We have the Faith Radio Writers Contest going on right now. Many people have submitted their writing samples to be looked at, to be judged, and can possibly win a luncheon with an acquisition editors from Bethany House and Baker Publishing Group. And so we're trying to kind of launch a new writer. We would love to have you participate in that. You can go online and view their submissions and even vote on your favorite. Go to myfaithradio.com and you'll be able to access those writings there and vote that way as well. So take some time to do that. The last time you'll be able to vote is midnight on Memorial Day. So take some time to do that. We'd love to have you participate. Also, a special new welcome to our listeners who are tuning in from our new station, 1290 AM in Hartford, Connecticut, and also in our new Twin Cities station, 90.7 FM. We have a welcome gift that's filled with lots of information, not only about Faith Radio, but just some encouraging content for you as well. You can visit myfaithradio.com to request your free welcome gift today.
One other new station update, Joe, it's pretty new in Madison, Wisconsin. We're on the air on 104.7 FM, so welcome to those listeners too.
And so a nice strong signal there as well. Yeah. People will be able to hear us loud and clear.
Pretty exciting.
It's exciting stuff happening here at Faith Radio. Well, we also have just a great show planned for you today. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever struggle with perfectionism? Maybe feeling like you need to be a certain way in order to be loved or accepted? Maybe you're unable to accept love because you think that you don't deserve it. Or maybe you grew up in a home where affirmation was a little tough to come by and that constant need to strive became kind of a part of your heart and your mind at a very young age. Well, if you can relate to or know someone who can relate to any of that, then you are just going to love today's show. It's going to be just a nice gift for you because we have Holly Girth with us who is talking about her new book, You're Loved No Matter What, Freeing Your Heart from the Need to Be Perfect. Yes, you're loved no matter what. Let me tell you a little bit about Holly, and we'll get her on the show. Holly Girth is a best-selling writer, a certified life coach and speaker. She loves connecting with the hearts of women through her popular blog and books like You're Already Amazing, You're Made for a God-Sized Dream, and You're Going to Be Okay. And of course, the book we're talking about today, You're Loved No Matter What. She's also co-founder of the popular website InCourage and a partner with Dayspring as well. You can learn more about her at hollygirth.com. That's Holly with an E-Y, Girth, G-E-R-T-H. com. Holly, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be with you.
Well, it's great to have you here as well. Thanks so much for joining us just to talk about such a subject that seems to reach just a very broad range of not only women, but men as well, just that need to be perfect. Why did you decide that you wanted to write this particular subject? Can you give me a little snapshot about what the concept of the book is?
Sure. Well, they say that we tend to write about what we most need to hear ourselves, so I'm a recovering perfectionist and certainly needed this message. And then as I worked with other women as a counselor and an author and a coach, I heard the same thing over and over again. I'm trying so hard, and I feel like I need to be perfect, and I just want to know I'm loved. And the good news is that that's what God wants to tell us, too, that we have a Savior, that there is grace, that we are loved no matter what.
I feel like sometimes people even get that grace concept confused. Like, we are supposed to understand that we haven't done anything to earn this favor of God, and yet we still seem to be kind of caught up in the having to be better, to be more accepted by Him. Is that some of what you've heard as well?
Absolutely. I think it comes from fear. When we're afraid, we want control, and part of the way we control is by trying really hard to be good, because we know God says he loves us, but it seems to be safer if we just make sure. If we just make sure that he couldn't possibly not love us because we're perfect. And so we end up wearing ourselves out and adding so much more to grace when he never intended us to. And so I think it's just getting back to those basic truths, the one we heard in Sunday school, if Jesus loves me, this I know.
Mm. Well, is there kind of a specific person that you had in mind when you were writing this book? I know you do a lot of life coaching and counseling. Is there even an age range or a situation where someone might be more prone to this need to be perfect? Or do you find that it really spans a lot of areas?
You know, I really think it spans all of us. I think it applies to men, but especially for women, because all the way back in the garden, the enemy went after our hearts with one phrase, did God really say? And he hasn't changed his tactics that much. He just changes the ending to that sentence. Did God really say that you're loved? Did God really say you're enough? Did God really say whatever it is that we hear? And whatever that is, a response it seems like will be what fixes that is being perfect. Did God really say that I'm loved? I'm not sure, so I should be perfect just in case. Did God really say that I'm enough? I'm not sure, so I think I'll try harder just in case. And so I really think that we are all subject to this in some way. We just express it in different ways.
You know, Parker Palmer has a famous quote there that sounds similar to something you just said. We teach what we most need to learn. So how has kind of writing this book and maybe realizing that you are loved no matter what changed you as a wife or a mom or a friend or a writer?
I think it's an ongoing journey. I'll be the first to confess that I probably should reread my own book again, you know, but it has changed me. This message has changed me. And I think the biggest way is just being able to recognize when those attacks come, when the lies get loud, and to be able to ask for help from people who will speak grace to me and then know the truth that I can go home to. You know, I'd love to say I wrote the book that will fix you completely forever and ever, but that is not what any author can do. What I can say is I think I've put on pages a home that you can go back to, a reminder of the truth that we all need to hear every single day of our lives until we go home, because we're imperfect, broken people in an imperfect, broken world, and we all need to just hear again and again, you know what? You're still loved. You're still loved.
You know, sometimes when I write things down that are true to me at the time or lessons that I've learned, and then I find myself back in that place where I need to learn that lesson again, people tend to remind me what I wrote down. Have you found that that happens to you as well?
Yes. You want accountability? Write a book about something. Because then your friends are like, yeah, in chapter 8, you said blah, blah, blah. So that is it's sometimes helpful, sometimes a fortunate side effect.
Well, yeah, it's true. You can read your own book and take your own advice, but still our heart tends to think what our heart tends to think, doesn't it?
Yes.
Well, why do you feel that, or what have you found? Why are we so drawn to this idea of perfection or trying harder to do more, to be more?
I think it is kind of what I mentioned before, that we are afraid, all of us underneath, the most confident people I've ever met, when you really get down to it, we're all just scared that we won't belong, that we don't have a place, that we might not have a purpose, that we're going to mess up. Or if anyone really knew us as we are, then we couldn't possibly be loved. And so we strive and we perform and we seek approval and we do what we think it will take to make that fear go away. And so I think what Scripture said is so true, that perfect love casts out fear. The more we know we are really loved, the less afraid we become, until we can really rest into saying, you know, I don't have to strive. I'm already loved.
Well, I'm talking to Holly Girth today about her just beautiful book called You're Loved No Matter What, Freeing Your Heart from the Need to Be Perfect. We'll be back with Holly in just a few minutes, but we also have a couple of copies of her book to give away. So if you're listening and you know someone who needs that book, I'd love if you would just give us a call at 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484, and be able to get that book in someone else's hands. So would love for you to do that. You can just chat with Carissa, or you can send us an email through through our website, myfaithradio.com. Click on Connecting Faith and submit your name and your email. That way, we'll try to get that book in your hands as well. We'll be back talking about perfectionism, freeing your heart from the need to be perfect, with author Holly Gerth in just a minute. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Bender. Thanks so much for joining us today. We're talking with author Holly Gerth today. She's a best-selling writer, a certified life coach, a speaker as well, and she's written just this fabulous little book called You're Loved No Matter What, Freeing Your Heart from the Need to Be Perfect. And Holly, one of the things that I just really resonated with in your book was that concept of guilt, of feeling like I could have done more, I should have done more, I didn't do enough, I was too limited, and just taking that guilt on. And you write that really guilt is not the way we are to think of it, but we are really to look more for grace. I'm going to read just a few words from your book, and then I'd love to have you respond. Holly writes this about guilt. Dear guilt, you and I have known each other for quite a while now, my whole life, really. We've been close at times, but most often our relationship has been challenging. You're sneaky. You wear all sorts of disguises like humility, concern, and even godliness. And just when I think I recognize you, like I find a new haircut, throw on a pair of shades, or dress up like someone else. So here's what I'm saying. I think it's time for us to part ways, because really, guilt, we aren't doing each other a whole lot of good. You push me around, I enable you, and it's not healthy. Holly, talk about guilt, and how did guilt kind of show up in your life, and how do we turn that around to grace?
Well, I like to say I am one of those sweet Southern girls in a family where guilt is poured out like gravy. We'll have a little guilt with everything. So I feel like I just grew up with just always this sense of guilt hanging over me, that I wasn't enough, that I wasn't doing it enough. And I happened to be part of a legalistic organization when I was young that added to that. And I probably just have some genetic wiring that makes me a little more tightly wound than most folks. So guilt, as I described in that letter, has just kind of been a companion of mine. And I realized at some point, you know what, this is not from Jesus. Like, he's the God of grace. And I even looked in Scripture, and in Scripture, guilt is not an emotional term. It's a legal one. Either you're guilty or you're not guilty. And when we receive what Jesus did for us on the cross, we are declared not guilty forever. It's a permanent thing. And so we can let go of guilt and instead embrace grace.
Hmm. So this picture that we all seem to have of someone being deserving or not deserving of God's love, it certainly isn't what he had planned for us as believers. What is it that we need to start to believe to be true about God so that we can then believe to be true what he says about us?
I believe just taking hold of God is love, and God is grace, and God is also holy. We can forget that part because it's a little scary, but the reality of his holiness is what points us to our need for a Savior. And having that Savior is what frees us from guilt, is what frees us from shame, is what frees us from that condemnation we do deserve without him. And so just knowing God's heart and his character, and most of all, receiving his work, letting him do it for us, you know, really striving is about saying, I'm going to do it for myself. I'm going to make myself good enough. And grace is saying, you know what? I can't do it. I'm going to let Jesus do it for me. And I think that coming to that point, and it's a place that we come to at salvation first, but then again, over and over, every time we realize, I fell down, I made a mistake, I messed up, I need grace, I'm human. And knowing that God is who he is and will do what he says he will do gives us the security to keep coming back to him again and again.
You know, and you just wrote so beautifully about trying to remember that grace that he gives us and bestows on us, and without limitation, that there's not a certain number of times where he's like, all right, that's enough. I can't stand it any longer. You can't receive my grace. And if you think about that, it's kind of the same way that we treat our children. I mean, there doesn't come to a point where I say, oh, That's the 14th milk spill. That's it. You're out of the family. So we don't seem to remember that, though. It doesn't come to our mind as easily as maybe it should. How do you try to support people in remembering those promises to be true?
Well, I think, like the example you gave of a parent and a child, I think we do need people in our lives who will be an example of God's grace to us, who will be literally the hands that reach out to us when we have messed up again, who will be the voice in our ear saying, you know what, God still loves you. I think that's why we need the body of Christ, because it can be hard to picture God, who we have not yet seen, giving us mercy again and again. But if we can experience that through each other, then it can become more real. And we can understand how, yes, we are flawed, but we are also deeply loved.
Hmm. Such good words. You know, one other thing that you wrote along that same line is just this constant need to be looking at other people and maybe comparing their lives to ours. And you wrote eloquently about that, about how we do, especially as women or as moms, as people in the workforce, as friends, we tend to really look at other people and say, well, wait a minute, maybe if I were more like her, then God would be able to bestow on me a little bit more responsibility, or he would look on me more favorably. And you say that's really a lie that we believe, that to be more like someone else is something we should want.
Yeah, trying to be perfect is really about meeting standards. And so we each tend to come up with our own set of standards. You know, this woman is my standard for what it means to be a great mom. This woman's my standard for what it means to be an awesome worker. And so we have all these people in our lives that we think, if only I could be like her, then I would be okay. And God wants us to know that, you know what, there's only one you. You have a purpose that I created only you for. And the good news is that if there's only one of something, it can't be compared, because there's not another one like it. And so he says, instead of comparing, start sharing, because then you find out, when you're willing to say, you know what, I'm struggling, that woman that you think is so perfect can say back to you, yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. You know, like, my Facebook page looks awesome, but I am really having a hard time in this area of my life. And so when we take down those walls of, I need to be like you, and instead just give each other the freedom to say, you know what, none of us have it together, mm-hmm. but we're all better together, then we can stop comparing and then start pursuing the path that God has specifically for us.
Hmm. Well, and we can need those people in our lives, don't we, that can help us when we are not being that person that people think we are. I just had a conversation with a great friend this morning who I just said, I cannot keep this up any longer. And she said, you don't have to. But we need those people in our lives to kind of speak truth, don't we?
Yes, absolutely. I had a friend text me this morning and say, you know what, I'm having a really hard time. I feel like I should be strong and I can't. And all I said was, it's okay to not be okay, mm-hmm. you know, because it is. And sometimes that's all people need to hear, and all our own hearts need to hear, not the answer or how to fix it or the ways we can try harder, but just, you know what, we're human. And that means sometimes we're just not going to be all right, but we're loved anyway.
One of the other lies you say we tend to believe is, I don't have anything to offer. Why does that seem to plague us so much?
I think that we just doubt our gifts. And probably a lot of that is from the enemy, too, that he would love nothing more for us to hide our treasure and for it never to be given in the way God intended. And so I think, again, that's related to the comparing. And we can just step back and say, you know what? God made me, and he scattered the stars into place. He put this world into being, and that means that he has placed something beautiful and worthwhile within me, and I can share it. And it doesn't have to be perfect. He is the God of the loaves and fishes who says, you know what, give me what you got and I'll make it enough. And so I think we can spend years saying, I need more education, I need more experience, I need to be more like this person, I need to get this struggle in my life together, or God's not going to be able to use me. And instead he's just saying, just hand over what you got, I'll make it enough. I'll make you enough, because it's not really about you. It's about me and my glory. And even in your weakness, I can be strong.
Hmm. Well, and we do tend to put those kind of things on a list. Well, if only I were this, or maybe he'll be able to use me when I become this, or maybe I'm not ready yet. these things that we think we can attain by being perfect or performing well. It seems to be ingrained in us at a very young age, or at the very least when we start kind of working independently, where we're being judged, I guess, even though we don't want to be judged, but we kind of are. So what do you say to those people who say, I need to strive, because once I get this, then I will be accepted, or then I will be loved?
I would say that God's desire from us is not perfection, it's obedience. And so he's not saying, wait until you can do it just right, or make sure that you have all your ducks in a row. He's saying, just take the next step. Just say yes to me. And we see that all through Scripture, that he uses these wildly messy, still broken, struggling people like David and Moses and Noah. And he says, you know what? If you say yes, that's all I require of you. I will take care of the rest. I already know that it's not going to go perfectly. I already know that you have more to learn, and it's okay. I'm not asking you to be flawless. I'm asking you to just be faithful.
My mom shared with me for one of my siblings who's wildly accomplished, she said that she knew she was in trouble when he would take a puzzle and go do it only in his room. And he wouldn't come out until the puzzle was finished, and then he would bring it out and say, here's what I did. And it just kind of, every time I feel like I want to hide and not fail in front of people, I think of that story and just think about how God's heart is just breaking because I'm afraid to fail in front of other people. And when I read so much of what you wrote, that kind of reminded me of that, you know, failing is not terrible, and doing it in front of others might actually help us, because then others will kind of commiserate with us, I guess. Do you find that to be true as well?
Yes. And failing in our human perspective is very different than what God would call it. If you look at the life of Jesus, a lot of humans would say failure. You know, he died at 33. He could have become king, and he turned it down. He stayed in this one little town that was fairly unknown. He didn't start his ministry until 30, spent all this time doing carpentry. You know, we would say, wow, Jesus, you know, you really could have delivered a lot better than you did. I mean, you're the Son of God and all, you know. You kind of kept the standards low. But in God's eyes, that was the greatest success ever. And so I think it's shifting our perspective too, to understand that we may be absolutely obedient, and we may be having the applause of heaven with every step, but this world around us may look at us and say, too small, not good enough, failure. And so having those people around us who are kingdom-minded and can tell us on the days when we want to give up and it doesn't feel like it's enough, that, no, what you're doing matters, and it's important, and it's beautiful, and it's making a difference, even if this world doesn't understand it, I think that is so important.
Yeah. Well, just some wise words from author Holly Girth, who has written just a great book called You're Loved No Matter What, Freeing Your Heart from the Need to Be Perfect. We still have a couple of copies of Holly's book to give away. If you're listening in, you know someone who could use it, we'd love to get that in their hands. Give us a call at 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484, or you can just shoot us a message online at myfaithradio.com. Click on Connecting Faith, and we can try to get your name that way as well. You're listening to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Bender. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you in a couple minutes. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. I'm Joe Bender, and just really happy today to have on Holly Girth. She's a best-selling writer, a certified life coach and speaker, and she's written many books. Today we're talking about You're Loved No Matter What. The tagline is Freeing Your Heart from the Need to Be Perfect. Holly, we were chatting about just this need to strive and complete, as if we were trying to win some award or win God's approval. But you write that the striving's really not necessary if we could just embrace the freedom that is really already ours. What kind of freedom can we embrace if we can figure out the truth that we don't need to strive?
Well, I think it really comes down to the freedom to love and be loved, and knowing that that's why we're here. The God who spoke the world into being does not need to hand us his to-do list. He can pretty much do whatever he wants. But what he has asked us to be partners with him in is loving and being loved. And so that's a freedom that we can embrace.
So you write a couple of specifics here. You say that when we realize that we are loved simply because we are loved through God's grace, we have the freedom to make mistakes. How do we have the freedom to make mistakes?
Well, I think that first we can distinguish that a mistake is different than outright rebellion. God asks us not to rebel directly against him. He wants us to obey. But he knows that we are human and that we are just not going to get it quite right sometimes. Like when your child is learning to ride a bike, you know, you don't want them to deliberately rebel and go across that very busy street that you have cautioned them to stay away from. But when they tumble, when they fall, when they are swerving all over the place and trying their hardest to get it, you are comforting. You are cheering them on. You're saying, get up and try again. And that is what God does with us. And so he's going to ask us to do some wild and crazy things in our lives. And they're going to be hard and they're going to be scary and we're going to try and we're going to fall off the bike. And we need to know that's okay, that we're not in trouble because we have more learning to do. Instead, he's saying, well done, get up and go for it again. And so that can bring a lot of freedom to those of us who think, oh, God expects me to know it all right now and to never mess up.
You also say that when we know that we're loved, no matter what, we have the freedom to say no. Boy, this is huge for women especially. Talk more about that.
Yeah, I think a big part of how we try to be perfect is pleasing everyone else. We want to be the perfect mom, the perfect wife, the perfect friend, the perfect everything to everyone all the time. And a way that we do that is to say yes to whatever is asked of us. But God says, you know what, you can very intentionally and lovingly say no. And we see this in the life of Jesus. You know, people tried to make him king, which seems like a good thing. He said, no, thanks, I'm not called to that. The Mary and Martha said, Lazarus is sick, come right now. And he said, no, even though that's what you want, it's not God's best. And so over and over, we see him saying in love and with gentleness, no, I can't comply with that because God has other purposes for me. And so I think when we get really clear on this is who I am created to be, this is what I'm called to do, and I am part of the body of Christ, so that means there are other people who are going to fill in the gaps where I can't do it all, then we can really be set free from a lot of that guilt and shame we talked about. And be able to say no from a place of confidence and love and freedom.
Well, and saying no to things that are exhausting to us or don't fill us up are really just going to deplete us for the people who really need to count on us. I mean, if I'm asked to do something where I have to be around a ton of people and just, you know, handing out, I don't know, things in a very loud place, that would be something that would just suck the energy out of me then for the rest of the day. And so sometimes we just need to say no to little things, don't we?
Yes. I had a college mentor who used to always say to me, Holly, the hardest choices in life aren't between bad and good. They're between good and best. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what can trip us up is just saying, you know what? I'm going to give all my energy to the good. And then I wake up one day and realize, wow, I have nothing left for the best. And so just knowing that it's okay, like you said, to say no to those little things and to say no to the things that don't align with who we're created to be, that's okay. That's not irresponsibility or selfishness. It's wisdom.
That's true. It is very easy to say no if someone asks me to dig out a ditch. It's very easy. It's easy for that. But if they ask me to write another newsletter article or something that I'm already writing 12 of, those things are a little more difficult for me to say no.
Yes, absolutely. I think that we get distracted most often, not by the enemy saying, hey, let's run off to Vegas and go wild, but instead saying, like you said, hey, let's do another newsletter article. And so just continually just saying, okay, Jesus, where are there parts of my life that I may need to realign? Where is there someone in the body of Christ that you've gifted to do exactly this, that this is their best? And by holding on to it, I'm not letting them do everything that they can. And just finding our limits, usually by crossing them, and then going back and saying, okay, I learned something. I'm going to say no next time. It's just the process over a lifetime.
All right, the season of no. I'm going to write a little something on that, and then I'm going to do it, Holly. So you also write that when we know we are loved, we have the freedom to be who we are. What does that mean?
Well, it's really a lot what we were just talking about, that once we know who we are, then we can live in that. When we know we are loved, we don't have to try to be like someone else, which is what we tend to do because we think we're not enough, so we're going to be like someone else. And just saying, you know what? God has given me gifts. He has given me strengths. He has put me in this world for a purpose, and I am loved as I am means I can do what only I can do, and I can trust God with the rest.
Hmm. One that made me giggle is you said that we have the freedom to carry less in life, and you used the analogy of the big, huge purse bag. Talk about that a little bit.
Yes, I think, kind of again, what we've been talking about too, that we just pile on more and more events and obligations and commitments, and we tend to carry so much more weight than the God who said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, ever intended for us to bear. And a lot of that is kind of armor around us, you know, that sense of security, even from having all that stuff in your purse. You think, no matter what, I'm going to be totally prepared and I'm going to have it all together. And so Jesus instead says, you know, you can set a lot of that down. Just walk with me. Trust me to be your provision instead of trusting your perfection to be your provision. And life gets lighter when we can learn to live that way.
Mm. It's true. I want to be the mom with the Band-Aid and the ice pack and the juice box and the extra snacks. But every time I'm at the chiropractor, he lifts up my bag and he says, stop doing this. So there's another one you say that when we know we're loved no matter what, we have the freedom to ignore the Pharisees. Who are the Pharisees and how can we ignore them?
You know, Jesus dealt with them, and we are going to also, they're the people in our lives that just no matter what we do, they're going to find something to criticize. And I think in our age of social media, unfortunately, they have ever more access. And most people, I would say, aren't full-out Pharisees, but we're still going to find those that just have those Pharisee tendencies. And when they're in that mode and they're saying, you can't do anything well and you're not living up to expectations, we can pause and say, you know what? I'm a servant with only one master. And there is only one voice who gets to tell me, you're enough. You need to be doing this, all of those things in our lives. And he has declared me loved and chosen and complete in his eyes. And he is speaking grace over me. And so I'm not going to give you permission to speak condemnation where God is speaking love. And I think for those of us who are perfectionists like me, if I get criticized at all, I think, oh my gosh, I need to change everything I'm doing and the world's going to end and I'm a complete failure. And instead, I've just got to pause and say, what's true? What's real? Where is this coming from? And then carry on anyway.
Mm. Well, and as a parent, I'm a parent of a teenager now, and I kind of find myself holding my tongue a lot as well to not be one of those Pharisees as he's trying to grow and kind of discover who he is. And his path may be drastically different than what I had in my mind for his path, but he's growing and he's learning, and to not be that kind of Pharisaic voice in his head as well as a parent. That seems like an important lesson for us to learn as friends and as parents and as mentors as well.
Yeah, I agree. And that's so wise that you're aware of that. And I think that's what matters is just we know we all have the capacity for that to do that to ourselves and to do that to other people. And instead of just say like you did, you know what? Sometimes I'm going to hold my tongue and I'm going to pray really, really hard.
Sometimes I have to pray really hard after I've not held my tongue, though. So I really have to switch the order. Well, and finally, Holly, you write that when we know we're loved, no matter what, we have the freedom to take risks. Explain that and really how that's worked in your life.
Yeah, when we really just say, you know what, I am loved no matter how this turns out, we find a brave that we did not know we had, and a courage that we didn't know existed within us, because we can try new things. We can take steps. We can reach out to people and know it's not about the outcome. It's about our journey with Jesus. And we know the ending to the story. We know that we get to go home. We know that we get to be with him forever. We know that our future is secure. And so that means in this lifetime, we can take some risks that are led and directed by the Holy Spirit, that are in obedience to God, but that have the opportunity to make an impact in this world. And we can stop saying, I have to play it safe all the time, and instead say, I serve a great big God, and I'm going to go for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that's what he'd want us to do. Don't play it safe. I'm going to write that on my mirror, and that will that'll help in these days to come. Well, today, just I'm blessed to be talking to Holly Girth. She's written a book called You're Loved No Matter What. We're talking about perfectionism and the struggle that many of us have to feel like we have to do something or be more or do more in order for God and others to love us. But she's saying that's absolutely false, because God says that we are loved no matter what. We're going to talk more with Holly coming up on Connecting Faith.
I got a couple dents in my fender, got a couple rips in my jeans. Try to fit the pieces together, but perfection is my enemy and all my own.
Oh, I just love that song. I had a gal in my Bible study who said that was her theme for life. The free to be me. So I hope you're getting that message loud and clear today as we're talking to Holly Girth today about her book, You're Loved No Matter What, freeing your heart from the need to be perfect or just the need to be anyone else than other than who you are. Well, Holly, I know that you have some other projects going as well. And first of all, I'd love for you to tell our listeners about Encourage and how people can find out more about that and maybe be subscribers to all your great information.
Sure. Encourage is an online community for women that was started in 2009, and it's a place that we talked about being like God's beach house, where you can put your sandy, dirty feet on the table and laugh with your friends and hear God's voice outside the busyness of everyday life. And so the website is encourage.me. It's encourage with an I at the start instead of an E, .me. And so I hope they'll all go on there and check it out and be part of that community.
And we'll put a link to that on our website as well on Connecting Faith, so people can check that out as well. I'm on there often, so it's really how I became familiar with you, Holly. So glad that you did that. And then you also have a re-release of You're Already Amazing and some resources that go along with that. So tell us a little bit about that book. What's the message of You're Already Amazing, and what do you have for people there they might be interested in?
It's You're Already Amazing, embracing who you are, becoming all God created you to be. So if you're asking, who am I really, and what is God calling me to do in this season of my life, then this is a book that will help you figure that out and give you encouragement along the way. And that book released in 2012, but we just released a workbook and DVD that goes with it. And so we heard from a lot of people. We want to go even more in depth into that message with some life coaching tools, and we also want to be equipped to do it as a group. And so that's what the new workbook and DVD provide. You can take that original message and go to a whole new level and share it with all the people in your life.
Well, and all of your books seem to have some questions, and so they really would be great for small group ministries, especially for groups of women. But I guarantee people would not even get through the first question, because there's so much that is relatable to so many of us who are reading your books. So thanks for providing those. And again, You're Already Amazing, of course, is one of the books that Holly's written. And then we're talking today about You're Loved No Matter What. So check those out either on her website, or you can get a link to her website on ours at myfaithradio.com. Just click on Connecting Faith and you'll be able to see Holly's resources there. So Holly, one of the chapters that you wrote has to do with just kind of changing our perspective. So once we've realized that really we are loved no matter what freedom we can enjoy if we realize that, you say that we'll be able to grow in kind of a new and different way. I'd love to just read this little portion that you wrote about how perfectionism is totally different from growth, and that we need to take a growth perspective as we move forward. It says, perfectionism is all or nothing. Growth is little by little. Perfectionism is all about the goal, but growth is more about the journey. Perfectionism is about outward appearances, but growth is about what happens on the inside. Perfectionism is about what we do, and growth is about who we're becoming. So unpack that a little bit, especially about the growth is about who we are becoming. It's really such a message of the Christian faith walk that it's not who you get to become in the blink of an instant as much as, well, it's about that too, but it's also about who we're becoming day by day as we grow closer and closer to Him. Just talk about that a little bit, how that's meant a difference for you.
Yeah, I think over a lifetime, we just become more of who we already are, which is a bit mysterious to us. But one of the verses that really set me free in the process of writing this book is one in Hebrews that says, He has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. And so we are positionally perfect through Christ in what He did for us. And then God is making us holy. In other words, aligning us more and more with our true identity until that process is complete in heaven. And that can make us think, oh, I need to be holy. But that is the beauty of it, that God says, no, you need to rest in me and abide in me and believe what I say is true about you. And I will do that work in you. And you'll just get to bear witness to it and be a part of it and share it. And so I think that's what growth looks like, is that every day we get up and just say, God, do your work in me. Do your work in me. And for the rest of our lives, we just let that happen until we're home with Him forever.
And it does seem to be just such a misconception of knowing who Jesus is automatically makes you a different person. Yes, we are new in Christ, but we are moving toward becoming a different person in this constant process of becoming more and more like Him, growing to know Him. And so I don't want to sell that short to those who maybe don't know the Lord, that it doesn't mean that you've arrived. It just means that you're starting this new journey.
Yes, absolutely. That's a great distinction. You know, people think, well, I should have it all together because I'm a Christian. And actually, being a Christian is a declaration that we don't have it all together and we need a Savior who's going to take us by the hand and walk with us through all the ups and downs of all our life. And so in this life, we're not going to be perfect and we don't need to expect ourselves or each other to be. We just are acknowledging that we need a Savior.
Well, and let's get a little practical about how, you know, even listening to this one show is not going to really change your desire to be perfect. That may be a desire and something you've got to work toward for a long period of time. You have a chapter called A Practical Plan for Beating Perfectionism. And one of the things that you say is essential is to live this life of gratitude. Talk more about that and how we can try to kind of retrain our mind to think in a way of gratitude rather than a think in a way of trying to be perfect.
Yeah, when we're focused on trying to be perfect, we're really focusing on what we don't have yet or who we're not yet. And that can really make us miss out on what's right in front of us. And so just teaching ourselves to slow down, and even before I go to bed at night, I try to write down like three things that I'm thankful for, which research has shown is enough that to have an impact. There's a lot of work by researchers that says that's enough. 5 minutes, three things can alter the way your brain works. And so that's just a really practical thing that if someone listening says, I don't know what to do next, just try that. To say, thank you, Jesus, for where I am today and for these things that you have given me and these parts of who you've made me. Because that shifts our eyes off perfection and onto what actually is. And we serve the God who is I am. He's in that present tense. He's in that imperfection with us.
When I'm thinking in my head already, oh, I'm going to make sure my kids do that every night before they go to bed, because we do tend to pray for things that we don't have yet. And we forget to look at all of the wonderful things that we do have and to thank God for the blessings that we do already possess. And not necessarily a material thing, but just possessing the love from our family members, the grace from Him. And then, you know, kids will always go to, you know, my red puppy dog, stuffed animal and things like that. And that's fine, too. It's still going to give us a really great idea to look at life and what we have rather than what we don't have yet. So I love that idea. You also write that we should treat life like an experiment and not like a test. Talk more about
yeah.
that.
Yes, we do. We tend to think, okay, am I going to get the gold star today? You know, and that the test, am I going to get an A? And I can totally relate to that, but it's more like an experiment. We don't have control. We don't have all the answers. We don't know what's going to happen next. And so instead we can just say, I'm going to say yes to the next thing Jesus ask me to do, and then I'm going to see what happens. And he is compelling and mysterious and wild, and so that usually is not what we think is going to unfold in our lives, but it's not about the outcome, as we talked about before. It's about life being an intimate adventure with someone who loves us and learning to love him back.
And isn't that interesting how that really changes as we grow? I'm just thinking about, I have two children who play hockey, and one is only 10 and the other is a teenager. And when the 10-year-old team comes in second place, oh, they are excited. They smile for the picture. They're holding up number two with their fingers. It's the greatest thing ever. When that happens to the teenage team, they won't look at the camera. They're mad. They think it's just awful. And don't we just do that in life, where it's a great adventure to try all of these new things, whether we succeed at being number one or not? It's a great adventure. And then there's some kind of switch that takes place in our life where all of a sudden we think, if we're not number one or the best or perfect at it, then all of a sudden we have something to be ashamed of.
Yeah, I think that's a great example, that at some point in our lives, we decide that what we do determines our worth. And then it all gets a lot harder and scarier because there's so much more on the line. And so I think maybe that's part of what Jesus meant when he said what he wants from us is childlike faith, because childlike faith is the one that says it's about the experience, it's about the relationships, it's about the fun and the laughter and enjoying each other. And not that our entire worth and existence is on the line every time we try something.
Well, I want you to go through one more, because I think it's just so essential as we're talking about some practical plans for beating perfectionism. You say that, for women especially, find people who care more about being real than being perfect. We have all these groups that we hang out in, Holly. How do we find people who care more about being real than being perfect?
Yeah, I think the hard part is trying to be those people first, to be willing to say, you know what, I don't have it all together. Here's what's really going on in my life. I'm not fine right now, and I'm not sure. And using discernment, because it's not always safe to do that, but when we think it is, to be willing to take that risk of being the first one to raise our hand and say, you know what, I don't have it all together, because that gives other people freedom to start saying the same thing. And that's when we can really come alongside each other. And I have one friend that when I cannot remember what's true, I just text her and I say, I cannot remember anything today. Like, I have no idea what's true. Can you tell me? And she tells me all over again, you are loved. It's going to be okay. God has a purpose for you, because we're all going to have those moments when we just feel like nothing is true and we have blown it and we're not ever going to be loved again. And we need to know that's not the case, and to be the kind of people who say that to others in our lives as well.
Well, and you wrote, practical step, here's what it says: think of one person in your life who cares more about being real than perfect, and make plans to connect with that person in the next month. So if you're listening today and you want to be that person, or you want to connect with that person, make plans today to connect with that person in the next month. Holly, I just thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us and our listeners about just this need to be perfect and freeing our heart from this need. Holly's book is called You're Loved No Matter What. And of course, you can connect with her at hollygerth.com, HollyGerth. But we'll also have a connection to her website on ours at myfaithradio.com. Just click on Connecting Faith and you'll be able to find information on Holly and all of her resources right there. Holly, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
You're welcome. We look forward to seeing what you write next and all the resources you provide. And if you're listening today, you just caught part of our program, but you'd like to hear the rest, you can just head to our website, click on podcast. You'll be able to hear the full version of the show. Have a wonderful weekend, and thanks for listening to Connecting Faith.